Chapter 4. Lord Dawn's Call. The Legio gathered in the briefing hall at the rear of the Tantamon Strategium deck. Half the room was occupied and brightly lit by warm yellow lumens. The half opposite was shadowed and as yet empty, but for priests working over the hololithic arrays to ensure the transmission quality the Great Mother demanded. Full spectrum comms integration had been ordered by Mohana Mankata Vai. In the lit half, Second Maniple waited, Durana Fowl with them as always. 5th, 7th, 8th, and 10th Maniples were all in their own groups, with the mixed unit of 11th/13th Maniple at the end of the line. All units stood to attention in two short ranks behind their Princeps Majoris. The day mechanics and plasmancers of the god engines were also present, gathered with their own kind in a loose crowd behind the Titan crews, and finally the strategos of the Legio, their officers and their subordinates, forming a block of dun-coloured uniforms near the gates to the strategium proper. The Tantamon, Artemisia, and the lesser transports moved into closer proximity with one another to ensure perfect data pulse exchange. At the prayers of the machine priests, the communications matrix fell into perfect alignment. Hunter routines spread out from digi-lymph nodes to swim code streams flowing through the networked cogitators and servitors supporting the fleet infosphere. They passed over the void into each other's territories, their subroutines emitting warding cantrips at every data portal. Lessons had been learnt from the enemy's assaults on Kalth and elsewhere. No enemy could penetrate the infospheric network surrounding the ships, not by technological or sorcerous means, or any combination of the two. Unauthorized entry would be quickly isolated and shut down. The Tantamon Strategium was large and ornate throughout. Its briefing hall was as finely decorated as a prince's ballroom, oval in shape and clad with polished serpentine. Statues of the founding mothers filled niches around the hall circuit. The largest, depicting Mohana Mankata Vai, stood at the oval's vertex opposite the gates. Loin banners of fallen titans hung from the ceiling. Inscriptions commemorating victories filled embossed panels, while battle scenes etched in copper covered the floor and sections of the walls. The machinery of the hololithic projectors was hidden behind all this art, ordinarily out of sight, but the priests had opened up various bits of the decoration to get at the workings. Large circuit racks protruded from odd places all over the room. Esha Ani Mohana found the untidiness of the revealed guts added to, rather than detracted from, the hall. It put her in mind of the machine god at work behind the glorious facings of the Machina Cosma. All the universe was a mechanism. Any beauty it had was a mask. With the access panels open, she felt she was seeing the mechanical truth of reality revealed. A huge set of metal gates embossed with likenesses of the Legio's first titans led out from the briefing hall. On the other side was the business end of the strategium deck, where tacticaria, choirs of servitors, cogitators, and all the paraphernalia needful to the Legio's management were situated. Currently this was powered down and dark, but for ready lights. The Legio's strategia were effectively separate from the vessels they were located on. Each was heavily armoured and could theoretically survive the destruction of the ship itself. There were several throughout the fleet. Multiple redundancy ensured a Legio's survival, so the old tenet maintained. Final authority rested with the Great Mother, who commanded her forces from her Titan in the field. But a Titan Legio without remote tactical support would find itself broken into its component parts, isolated and destroyed, while no princeps could hope to govern the vast web of supply needed to keep the great machines fighting. As quotidian as the rooms with their muttering tacticians were compared to the majesty of engines striding the battlefield, Esha saw these chambers as the beating heart of her order. Some infospheric impulse passed between the priests. In eerie synchronicity, they finished what they were doing closed up the access panels and departed, leaving only three of their number to oversee the hololithic arrays. Dutifully, the members of the trio sang their psalms of activation and commenced their sacred task. The day mechanics ignored them. As ministers to the god machines themselves, they were far exalted over their lesser brethren. Lenses conjured figures from nothing, which coalesced, hazy at first, in the dark half of the hall. To begin with, they were true phantoms, with eyes that were hollow spaces beneath the peaks of their caps. Their limbs were curves of mist. Loop projectors thrummed in the walls, and the figures gained definition, drifted in and out of focus, then leapt into glowing verisimilitude. Suddenly, the rest of the Legio was in attendance. So advanced was the technology available to the Legio that each person it projected seemed to be really there. There was no artifacting to their projections, no trace lines from the beams of light drawing in their presence or interference jagging on their outlines. Only a faint glow about them, evident solely because of the darkness of the hall, marked them out as projection ghosts. 3rd, 12th, 15th and 18th maniple joined the rest of the full-strength maniples, along with ad hoc groupings made from undermanned units and the clade leaders of the Legio Scitari and Secutari contingents. Now all the strength of the Imperial Hunters was present, except their leader and her myrmidons of first maniple. A bass note resounded through the hall. The assembled Titan crews knelt. Priests of all ranks emitted data blurts in praise of the Omnissiah. Above the doors, the head of Luxor in Victoria coalesced into view. The Princeps Myrmidons shimmered in beneath it, their feet hovering a metre over the floor. Mohana Mankata Vi's maniple consisted of hard-faced women, veterans of 100 battles. Many were the granddaughters of the Companions, those other women who, along with Mohana Mankata Vi, had formed the initial crew intake. The note blew again, announcing the telepresence of the Great Mother of the Imperial Hunters.
"My sisters of the hunt," she said.
The projected head of Luxor in Victoria remained unmoving, but the Great Mother's voice was passionately modulated, still human after all the years of her confinement.
"From Terra, the Lord Commander of the Imperium sends out his decree. We are to defend the shipyards of Theta Garmon from total conquest."
A large-scale hololithic view of the gas giant Theta Garmon V flickered into being. Banded clouds of azure and green striped its full belly, eddies at their boundaries hinting at the supersonic storms tearing around its circumference. There was little notable about the planet. Such were common throughout the galaxy, and like every other of its kind, it was uninhabitable. But tens of thousands of kilometres of shipyards, habitation rings and hydrogen refineries surrounding it made it valuable. Unlike the Ring of Iron around Mars, the facilities did not encircle the planet completely, but together they caged its waste and suckled from it. Theta Garmon V was infested by humanity.
"The battle for this world has been ongoing for the last 3 years," the Great Mother told them. "Rival factions within the facilities have been making war on one another, with varying amounts of outside help for little gain. Until recently, this situation was common across the cluster, but the strategic outlook is changing. There is disunity among Imperial Command. The Warmaster is attacking numerous worlds simultaneously in an effort to tip the individual conflicts here in his favor. He has launched a major assault on this world. We are but one of dozens of Legios called. I do not wish you to focus on the size and majesty of Lord Dawn's Great Master, or to dwell on the importance of the actions being undertaken on all of the cluster's worlds. You must focus upon your task, your role, and accomplish whatever mission is given you, no matter how arduous it may seem."
"Why is she telling us this?" Saranti Daha hissed at Abhani Lusmahana. This is always the way. The machine god has sent difficulties ahead to test us, said Toza Mindef. The banalities of briefing are a cant to themselves, to program the mind with calm before battle.
Esha Animohana risked a glance back to glare at her underlings.
Quiet, she said. The Great Mother speaks.
The princeps of Second Maniple fell silent.
The situation around the Garman cluster is problematic, the Great Mother continued. Since our arrival, we have been attempting to attach ourselves to overall theater command. We have been so far unsuccessful. We can find no legitimate central authority. There are hierarchies, but none worthy of fealty. So far, we have identified 8 different organizations claiming operational seniority.
Others in the crowd of princeps murmured. Esher kept her eyes forward. There had been a time when she would have whispered during her mother's briefing, but she had changed since the birth of her own daughter, more since the start of the war. This occasion demanded respect.
Elements from all over the Imperium are flooding into Beta Garmon. If one command hierarchy is established, then we shall have the difficulty of renegotiating when another challenges it. There are no loyal Primarchs in the entire subsector,
Mohana Mankata Vai said.
Without them, my prognosis is that this situation will not stabilize. We lack the unity Horus's leadership grants his armies. We do not have time to dicker over rights and roles. It is therefore my will that the Legio Solaria and its support group fight alone until such time as a commander we might respect be appointed by the Emperor of Mankind.
Maybe one already has been, thought Esher. It would be impossible to tell. The news sat ill with the officers. They had expected a Primarch. No one else could make this war a success.
All is not lost,
said Mohana Mankata Vai. Her raised voice silenced her legio.
Although we do not have an indication from Lord Dorne's summons who we should follow, we do have the luxury of orders from the throne world itself. It is my hope that we are not alone in this, and that the Lord Commander exerts his will from distant Terra. It is a poor second best, and we shall see if it is effective. But for now, we at least have a target. We have our orders. We shall not stint effort to fulfill them until asked to do otherwise.
The tactical hololith zoomed into a constellation of orbital docks clustered about one of Theta Garmon's moons. Scores of stepped cavities like inverted ziggurats were gouged deep into the rock. Between these macro mines, hundreds of lesser shafts stared out blackly upon the universe. The scars of levelled mountain ranges shone with a painful reflected light. No longer a sphere, the moon was faceted as a lump of coal. The activities of mankind had eaten into it like a cancer, hollowing it out to such a degree it could not have been far from collapse. Its circumference was marked on the Tacticarium as 5,000 kilometres, a small world easily confined by mankind's artifice. Wide artificial rings where manufactoria clustered like parasites imprisoned it wholly. The moon still turned, pulling the rings with it. They were medical supports to counter the moon's infirmity, the cure and the cause of the disease. A number of points of interest were highlighted around the moon, tagged and spectrum-coded with threat levels and markers of tactical importance. All the complex variables of war boiled down to a handful of colourful runes.
This is Theta Garmon 5-1, the Great Mother said. It is commonly referred to as Iridium by the inhabitants of this system, for the metalloid mined there. Somewhat unimaginative, but that is what we shall call it for the sake of convenience.
The view zoomed out. Several nearby orbitals were shaded red.
These facilities are held by the enemy and directly threaten the moon. The War Master has committed large numbers of God engines to this system, and to this world in particular. The lack of bombardment by void ship suggests he wishes to keep the shipyards intact. This factor is in our favor. War decrees this will be an engine battle. Conflict continues within the interior of the facilities, as it has for months. The traitors wish to end this siege, and it is on the surface, engine to engine, that the struggle for Theta Garmon V will be decided.
Escher studied the Tacticarium display. Horus's forces had most of the orbitals in their hands. There was no way a single understrength legio could turn the tide of battle there and retake all of Theta Garmon V's orbitals, let alone the system. Her eyes flicked over the situation. They were going to be tasked with a stand-and-hold mission. Take the moon, await reinforcement. Mohana Mankata Vai confirmed her assessment a second later.
We cannot win this on our own. Our role is to take and defend Iridium against the War Master's Titans. The facilities include alpha-grade processing plants, ship component assembly lines, and crew training collegia. But its true worth is in this infosphere node here.
A pull-out pict of the construct in question blinked into the air.
This is one of a dozen similar cogitation nexus relay stations situated around Theta Garmon V.
The relay shone brighter than its surroundings in the hololith.
This one, however, is different. Without this one in particular, the coordinating machine spirits within this entire quadrant of Theta Garmon V's orbit cannot communicate with each other. If this nexus is destroyed, the shipyards will suffer a drop in productivity of 34% until such time as it can be replaced. This is our hostage against the traitor's attacks. We are to secure this moon. Once it is entirely in our hands, we are to evacuate all high-ranking Adeptus Mechanicus personnel from other facilities to its sanctuary. We hold it until further forces join us. This area will be cleared by the fleet.
The red-shaded graphical representations of the orbitals disappeared.
We will cede the majority of the territory to the enemy, then strike back in force. Iridium will be the bridgehead by which Theta Garmon V shall be reclaimed.
The strategy was sound. There were not enough of the Legio Solaria to take so large an area, but more than enough to hold the moon.
Enemy assets include two demi-legios,
the Great Mother continued.
Legio Furiens is present in large numbers, estimated 96 god engines.
More murmured noise from the crowd.
Our own strength is 82 engines operational. Furiens' allies increase the odds against us. 24 engines of war support them.
A queasy feeling wormed its way through Escher's guts. She knew, before her mother could say it, who the second Legio was.
Rejoice, Mekin. We have the opportunity to remove a stain on our honor,
the Great Mother said.
Imperial Hunters, it gives me such bitter pleasure to inform you that the Legio Vulpa fights at Theta Garmon V.
Murmurs were replaced by roars of outrage. Second Maniple chattered. But for Escher, sound receded. Her ears rang, deadening the shouts of the rest. A chant was starting up around the room, issuing from mouths of steel, flesh, and light.
Unto the hunt! Unto the hunt! Unto the hunt!
Terent Hartek, Escher said, her mouth dry.
The Deathstalkers! The damned Deathstalkers!
Abhani Lus was saying. There was a depth of hatred there that disquieted Escher. Jahani gave Escher a sideways look.
This war has a few gifts for us after all, she said. I trust it will not prove difficult for you.
She laughed loudly, a hideous, mirthless eruption of sound. It was a rare occurrence for her, Jahani and her blood sisters were serious creatures.
The machine god delivers us the chance for vengeance,
Mindef whispered.
Rejoice, sisters. Remember, if he is present,
hissed Jahani Jehan in Esher's ear, grabbing her shoulder.
Lead you first.
Jahani let her go, leaving Esher staring straight ahead, alone in the vengeful crowd, thinking of the man she may have to face again.